I would like for us to continue our thoughts about our Savior Jesus Christ and think about the Passover just a little bit. You remember from the Mosaic Law, God commanded the children of Israel to observe the Passover as they were preparing to leave Egypt. As a matter of fact, the night before they left Egypt. On the 10th day of the month, they were to take a lamb or a kid without blemish and keep it till the 14th of the month. And then in the evening it was killed. Blood was put on the doorposts and the lintel of their houses. The lamb was roasted with fire, and they ate it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. They ate it in haste, with their loins girded, shoes on their feet, and a staff in the hand, remaining in the house until the morning. That which was left over was burned, that was not eaten. None was left over. And I wonder why God had them to keep the lamb from the 10th to the 14th for 4 days. And this isn't revealed within the Word of God, but perhaps it was because this little lamb meant something to them at the end of 4 days. It wasn't like they just went off and got a lamb and really didn't know this lamb at all, hadn't spent any time with this lamb and killed this lamb. That's rather impersonal, but when you live with a lamb for 4 days and then you have to kill it, that becomes a little more personal. And so I want us to look at Jesus as our Passover, as we've already read this morning. And I want to look at it from a personal point of view. Today, Jesus is our Passover because of His blood, which was sprinkled upon us when we obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. And so God passes over us just like He passed over the Israelites in Egypt. And we sing a song like that, number 289, "When I See the Blood." And this is a song about Jesus. Excuse me, about God. When He sees the blood of Jesus Christ sprinkled upon your soul, He passes over you, and you are not destroyed in the second death for eternity. In Isaiah chapter 53, if you'll turn over there with me, and you might want to place your marker there, we'll be referencing these verses quite a bit this morning. A passage we're all very familiar with. Prophecy of Jesus and His suffering as our Passover. In chapter 53 and verse 4, Isaiah says, "Surely our griefs He Himself bore, and our sorrows He carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed Him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted." Think about Jesus Christ, your Passover Lamb, who bore your griefs and your sorrows by the way that He was treated. He was esteemed stricken, smitten, afflicted for you. Turn over to Matthew chapter 26 and let's be reminded of the events that Jesus Christ endured that day in which He was crucified. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 65. Here, probably very, very early in the morning. Remember, Jesus Christ was convicted at 6 a.m. on Friday morning and then he was put to death. He was put to death at 9 a.m. And so this would probably be very, very early in the morning. And here the high priest had asked Jesus if He was the Christ, the Son of God. In verse 64, Jesus said to him, "You have said it yourself. Nevertheless, I tell you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest tore his clothes and said, "He has blasphemed. What further need do we have of witnesses? Behold, you have now heard the blasphemy. What do you think?" They answered, "He deserves death." Then they spat in His face and beat Him with their fists. And others slapped Him and said, "Prophesy to us, you Christ, who is the one who hit you?" And so see Jesus Christ, they're your Passover Lamb. They're the one being prepared for sacrifice. And there He is spat upon. And that's one of the grossest, most vilest things that one person can do to another. He was spat upon and He was beat with their fists. And see those who are there and see them with their fists clenched and see them beating upon Him. And upon His face and upon His breast and upon His arms, all over His body. And they're slapping Him. What do? You slap someone. Well, oftentimes slap them where? In the face. And see, being slapped in the face and beat in the face with others' fists and seeing being spit upon in the face. Jesus Christ, esteemed, stricken, smitten, afflicted. And you know what? The way Jesus was treated is the way each one of us deserve to be treated. We all deserve to be hit with fists and to be slapped in the face and to be spat upon. We all deserve that because of our sin. Jesus took this abuse that we deserve because of our sins. Jesus allowed them to treat him this way like a criminal, so we do not have to be treated this way. He took the spit. He took the slaps. He took the fists. If you would turn back to Isaiah chapter 53. Jesus was pierced and crushed and chastised and scourged, paying the debt we owe for our sins. In Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 5. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him. And by his scourging, his stripes, we are healed. All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. And then verse 11. As a result of the anguish of his soul, he will see it and be satisfied. By his knowledge, the righteous one, my servant, will justify the many as he will bear their iniquities. Jesus was pierced, verse 5. And see in your mind, see Jesus being pierced. See the thorns of the crown of thorns being placed upon his brow. And that being struck as it pressed down into his brow and pierced his skin, and blood flowed from his brow, perhaps into his hair and down his face and into his eyes. Nails pierced his hands and his feet all the way through. And then the spear was thrust into his side, from which came blood and water. Verse 5, he was crushed, he was bruised for our iniquities. He was beaten and bruised throughout all of this ordeal. He was chastised. That chastisement did not belong to him, but it belonged to us. It was for our well-being. Your translation may say for our peace. We now can have peace with God through Jesus Christ, who reconciled us to God by dying upon the cross. He was scourged. By his stripes we are healed. By his scourging we are healed. How did his scourging heal us? We deserve the scourging. We deserve the stripes. That chastisement, we all are due. He took that chastisement. He took that beating we all deserve. He took it for us. Verse 6, he took our sins, our iniquities upon himself. He paid the price that is due. He paid the price that each of us owe. And therefore, verse 11, justified us by bearing our iniquities. Turn your Bibles with me over to 1 Peter chapter 1. And again, passages we are very familiar with. But as we think about Jesus Christ as our Passover lamb, the one who was slain for our sins, for our iniquities, the one who took our iniquities and our sins upon himself. Think about these things. Verse 18, 1 Peter 1:18. Knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things, like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with the precious blood, as of a lamb, unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. We were redeemed. The word redeemed means to buy back. You see, we were in sin, and so we had to be bought back so that we could be God's children. A price had to be paid for that. We had sold ourselves to sin, to the devil. And so we had to be purchased back to be God's. And Jesus Christ made the purchase by dying on the cross, by being pierced and crushed and chastened and scourged, shedding his blood upon the cross. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2, as Peter begins this discourse, He says, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, by the sanctifying work of the Spirit. Now, what does the Spirit do? And our sanctification, this is it, to obey Jesus Christ and to be sprinkled with His blood. When you became a Christian, that blood of Jesus Christ shed upon the cross, that blood was applied to you, to your soul, purchasing you back from the one to whom you had sold yourself, the devil. And turn your Bibles with me over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Another passage you know so well. Let's think of the application that is drawn from this. As we think about Jesus Christ, our Passover lamb, pierced, crushed, chastened, scourged, died upon the cross. 1 Corinthians 6 verse 19. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own, for you have been bought with a price? Therefore, we are not our own. We do not belong to ourselves. We belong to the one who bought us back. We belong to the Lord. We belong to God. And so then in verse 20, therefore glorify God in your body. This is the physical. Our physical is 100% dedicated to God in everything that we do. Every single thing. There's not one thing excluded. Everything dedicated to God. And think about all the things that we do in the body. From the simplest thing to laying down to sleep and rising up in the morning, to going to work and going to school, to our schedules and the choices that we make, the time that we allocate to the things that we do, and the money that we receive from our physical labor, all of these, 100% in every decision that we make, is dedicated to God. But do we view it that way? Do we really look at it that way? We should. And turn your Bibles back to 1 Peter, and now chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, and beginning in verse 21. For you have been called for this purpose. This is a calling, calling us out of the world of sin to be the redeemed of God. You were called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in His steps. That is our calling, to walk in the footsteps of our Passover lamb. Verse 22, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. And while being reviled, he did not revile in turn. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to Him who judges righteously. And we entrust ourselves to God in every single respect of life. And He Himself bore our sins in His body on the cross. And now you see your Passover lamb on the cross. In whatever way, by the will of God, He took our sins in His body. And so when He was pierced and crushed and chastened and scourged and crucified upon the cross, there were our sins. There were our sins. Bore our sins. And so Peter says at the end of verse 24, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness, for by His wounds you are healed. Jesus bore our sins on the cross. He paid the debt that we owe. So now we walk in His footsteps, obeying Him, serving Him faithfully, fully dedicated 100% in every aspect of life to His service. If you would turn back to Isaiah chapter 53. Jesus did not stop the things which took place that day, although He had the power. It's not as if Jesus could not prevent these things from happening. It's not like Jesus could stop them from happening. After they went so far and He said, you know, this price is too great, He could have stopped it all. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 7, He was oppressed and He was afflicted. Yet he did not open his mouth, like a lamb that is led to slaughter, and like a sheep that is silent before its shearers, so he did not open his mouth. You know, we see in the great book of Revelation, in chapter 19, near the end of the second telling of the prophecy, Jesus is coming, and there is a name written upon him, the Word of God. All Jesus would have to do is to open his mouth and to speak, that all of these things would cease, and they would cease, and all the consequences resulting from that, which would be eternal damnation for every person who lived. Matthew chapter 26, if you'll turn your Bibles back over there with me. And I want us to notice again some of the events of this day. Matthew chapter 26 and now verse 62. Verse 62. The high priest stood up and said to him, "Do you not answer? What is it that these men are testifying against you?" But Jesus kept silence. Jesus kept silence. Jesus could speak a word, and whether by the things that were done by the power of God, those miraculous things, even as we sing a song that he could call 10,000 angels, number 580, and all of the world would cease to exist, or if it were simply to be by the logic which proceeded from his mind, which no one could resist, because of his great knowledge, certainly he could put those things to stop. Turn your Bibles with me over also to John chapter 19. John chapter 19. And remember, this is when they are confronted with all of these things. And remember here, as Jesus is before the high priest, and here he is before Pilate, and he is asked whether these things are true. Again, he keeps silence. But we are told in Matthew chapter 26 that as Peter took a sword, and he cut off the ear of the high priest's servants, that he could have called 12 legions of angels. Now, you may have a footnote in your Bible, the number of that are within a legion. It may say 6,000, or it may say more than that. I looked up a reference that said 6,826 at this time. And we sing the song, Jesus could have called 10,000 angels, but he could have called 12 legions, and this would have been about 82,000. 82,000. Do you know that's about four times the population of Lutz, Florida? We're in Lutz, Florida right now. Four times the population. And Jesus could have called all of these to stop all of those things. Let's move on and go back to Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53. And now verses 8 through 10. Jesus died in our place. Jesus died in your place. And as we read this verse, try to see the very best that you can. Visualize Jesus here being persecuted, being scourged, being crucified, bearing your sins in his body upon the cross. And see him die in your place. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 8. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off of the Lamb of the living for the transgression of my people, to whom the stroke was due? His grave was assigned with the wicked. Yet he was with the rich, a rich man in his death, because he had done no violence, nor was there any deceit in his mouth. But the Lord was pleased to crush him, putting him to grief. He would render himself as a guilt offering. He will see his offspring. He will prolong his days, and the good pleasure of the Lord will prosper in his hand. See Jesus Christ there upon the cross. See him as he cries out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? See him there as he says that he thirsts, and one grabs a little bit to drink on a sponge and puts it up to his mouth. And he finally bows his head and says, it is finished. See him there, bruised, crushed, pierced, scourged, and crucified. And now he dies in your place. Jesus did that which we could not do for ourselves, and that is offer a perfect human blood sacrifice. Jesus died in our place. Once again, back to Isaiah chapter 53. He bore our sins, and he interceded for us. Therefore, I will allot him a portion with the great, and he will divide the booty with the strong, because he poured out himself to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he himself bore the sins of many and interceded for the transgressors. Jesus Christ interceded for you that day. He intervened between you and God. He reconciled you together with God. You could not do it yourself. You needed someone to do it for you. And he did it that day. Turn your Bibles over to Hebrews chapter 9, continuing the thoughts that Alan Krim began with as we prepared to partake of the Lord's Supper. And here Hebrews chapter 9 gives us just a little bit of insight as to what Jesus did, offering himself there upon the cross. Hebrews chapter 9, verses 11 and 12. But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things to come, he entered through the great and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this creation, and not through the blood of goats and calves, but through his own blood, he entered the holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. Verse 14. How much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? That day Jesus Christ sacrificed himself and offered himself through the Spirit to God, entering the heavenly tabernacle with his own blood, having obtained eternal redemption for you. And there presented that sacrifice to our Heavenly Father. Now I'd like for you to close your Bibles, if you'll do me that favor. Close your Bibles. If you want to, take your songbook out. Turn to 322. We're going to offer the invitation in just a second. Before we do that, though, if you would please sit and think as I read Isaiah chapter 53, verses 4 through 12. Surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to slaughter, and like a sheep that is silent before its shearers, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment, he was taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off of the land of the living? For the transgression of my people, to whom the stroke was due, his grave was assigned with the wicked men. Yet he was a rich man in his death, because he had done no violence, nor was there any deceit in his mouth. But the Lord was pleased to crush him, putting him to grief. If he would render himself as a guilt offering, he will see his offspring. He will prolong his days. And the good pleasure of the Lord will prosper in his hand. As a result of the anguish of his soul, he will see it and be satisfied. By his knowledge, the righteous one, my servant, will justify the many, as he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will allot him a portion with the great, and he will divide the booty with the strong. Because he poured out himself to death and was numbered with the transgressors, yet he himself bore the sins of many and interceded for their transgressions. Think about Jesus Christ, your Passover lamb. You know, Jesus Christ, the book of Hebrews says, chapter 13, went outside the camp to offer himself as a sacrifice to God. And now he calls us to go outside of the camp, outside of the camp of the world, outside of the camp of sin, and go to him, allowing his blood to pay for our sins. If you're a Christian today, you've gone outside of the camp, washed in the blood of the Lamb. And now it's our duty to dedicate ourselves in every regard, walking in the footsteps of our Savior. If you're not a Christian, the Lord calls you to come out of the camp, to be his child, washed in the blood of his Son, the one who sacrificed himself upon the cross. What does he ask you to do? Simply to believe in him, to repent of your sins. That's to turn away from doing the wrong to do the right, to make your confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and to be baptized for the remission of your sins, washed in the blood of the Lamb. You'll be saved. You'll be redeemed. You'll be sanctified, holy, and dedicated to God. Are you living outside of the camp today? If not, won't you come to the front and let us help you go outside of the camp. If we can help you at all, won't you come to the front now as we stand and sing.